Now, back to The Drive with Steve Jackson on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Indeed, it is 3:18 on your Tuesday drive. Coming up, the great rock critic and author Joel Selvin, remembering Tom Petty. Joe Garofoli from the San Francisco Chronicle. Syracuse pop culture professor Bob Thompson. California Democratic Party Chairman Eric Bauman, and local political analyst Aaron Carlstrom, as we get set to move from the system that's been in place in Santa Rosa, California for years to district elections. We'll talk to former Councilwoman Aaron Carlstrom about that. Okay, I'm really excited about this because this first guest is one of my favorite people on television. And I'm not just saying this because she's on the phone. I watch her every day. I followed the entire 2016 campaign with her. She is a correspondent for NBC News and an anchor for MSNBC. She won the 2017 Walter Cronkite Award for Excellence in Journalism. And what a great story. The new book is unbelievable, My Front Row Seat to the Craziest Campaign in American History. She is Katie Turr. Katie, it's just an honor. I'm a huge fan, so.
Steve, thank you so much for having me, and what an introduction. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, this book is amazing, and so was the story and the whole thing. I don't know how you made it through that whole year last year, but one of the great stories about all this is you were a foreign correspondent for NBC living in London, and you really didn't have much political reporting experience. Explain the story on how you came to cover the entire Trump campaign.
Yeah, almost no political reporting experience, at least on a national level. I had dabbled in it in local news when I used to work in New York. But I was a foreign correspondent. I had just moved to London to cover the world, to go to Rome, to go to Surabaya, Indonesia, wherever the news would take me. Everything but American politics.
Yeah.
And I came back on a total whim, Steve. I was the Make-A-Wish Foundation called me, and they a boy named Aaron wanted to shadow me for a day, so I came back to fulfill that, cause it's an incredible honor. And I happened to be standing around the newsroom when Macy's and Univision and people, companies started dropping the Trump organization because of what he said in his announcement, and they needed somebody to cover it. And I was literally just standing around, and they said, Katie can do it. And suddenly, this one-off assignment turns into a full-time gig covering Trump, which is promised to me or billed to me as it'll be 6 weeks top.
Right.
Because nobody was taking him seriously.
Exactly.
And that turned into 510 days.
Oh, my God. Folks, you got to check this book out. It's called Unbelievable, and it certainly is a great title, My Front Row Seat to the Craziest Campaign in American History. Yeah, so even the bosses at NBC said, we can put Katie on this. She doesn't have a whole lot of political experience, but it'll be fine because Trump's going to burn out here, and it's not going to last. And, oh, my God. What did you start thinking at the point where it continued to grow and, in the middle of the year and everything? I mean, did you?
Yeah.
You must have been flipping out.
Well, I wondered if everybody, the assumptions were correct pretty early on. I mean, he went after John McCain, and that's an American war hero, prisoner of war. Donald Trump doesn't have military service, and presumably, if political gravity held, that would mean that he was out of the race. You can't survive something like that.
Yeah.
But his poll numbers went up after that.
Yeah.
Which was curious. That didn't make any sense. And then we'd show up at rallies in Mobile, Alabama. 20,000 people in Mobile, Alabama, 6 months before a primary, 6 months before anybody voted. This is for a Republican candidate. Nobody had ever heard of that. He was just garnering so much enthusiasm and so much attention early on. I started to wonder if Washington and, the quote-unquote establishment really knew what Donald Trump was doing and the kind of connection he was making. And it didn't make sense to write him off so quickly. So early on, I remember thinking to myself, can I trust what I'm seeing with my own eyes, or is what I'm seeing just a fluke? It turned out that it was not a fluke. It was very real, and Donald Trump went on to win and win and win and win.
Wow.
I mean, even despite, Steve, all of the many controversies, he would say things.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't need to remind you, he's still saying things that are absolutely wild in the political world. But he would just, anything that came to his mind, anything at all, when he was calling Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas and then saying he'll apologize to Pocahontas because Pocahontas was offended. I mean, things like that. And then arguing right after that with a reporter, a Native American reporter who said she was offended by it, just arguing with her as if there were no consequences to that, saying Hillary Clinton was schlonged by Obama, fighting with the Pope. I mean, anything you could imagine he would say. And it didn't hurt him. It helped him. People saw him as somebody that would stand up for them. He was never going to back down. He was never going to apologize. And there was a certain section of the population who found that very refreshing.
Yeah. Now, you were responsible for informing the Trump campaign about that infamous Access Hollywood tape, because NBC possessed that. I mean, how did that go down? That was amazing. And the fact that he survived that is beyond my belief.
You know, that has to be, I mean, I write about in the book, it's the surrealist, most surreal email I have ever written in my entire life. I go down to the executive wing. I'm not even told what I'm about to look at. I'm just told to press play on a video on a computer, and I see an Access Hollywood bus, and then I hear two voices. And then suddenly, you know, I realize one of the voices is Donald Trump's voice. It's a voice that I've been hearing every single day for, I think it's like 480 days, 490 days at that point. And he's saying things that things I had never heard before. You can grab them by the you know what, and you can do it because I'm a star.
Yeah.
And my jaw dropped. I remember, you know, exclaiming loudly, you know, with all the bosses down the hall, did Donald Trump just say he can grab women by the, and I actually used the word, I yelled it. And the boss that was with me said, yes, he did. Now, we need you to put this on the air, but first we need you to get a comment from the campaign. So I wrote just the most bizarre email, you know, just saying exactly, verbatim what Donald Trump said. And do you have a comment? He said he wanted to F a married woman, and he wanted to grab women by peas, and he can just kiss women. He just has to get some Tic Tacs first. I mean, just verbatim of what he said and asking the campaign for a comment. I never got a comment.
I feel guilty laughing. I think we all do, but you got to laugh. I mean, it's just so insane.
I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, I don't want to use the title of the book, but you go back and you read it, and I even read it, and I start to question whether or not these things really happened. And I mean, I guess they can read amusing in the moment. They can almost, they're so wild and so absurd that you laugh about it, but it was all, and it still is all, so deadly serious.
Right. It, you know, it comes across in one way as a comedy, a movie, a comedy. You can't, it's hard to make this stuff up, but it's for real. Now,
I think the script would have gotten thrown out if somebody proposed that as a movie. I think this is absurd.
Yeah.
No.
Now, he singled you out in his criticism of the press during campaign rallies. He used to call you Little Katie, and you apparently were booed by his supporters, and I do remember that. According to other journalists who were there, you were subjected to verbal harassment. And then Kellyanne Conway said, oh, Trump didn't mean it in any malicious way. I mean, how did you feel?
Yeah.
How did you feel when he was calling you Little Katie and you know, all that stuff?
You know, there was a Little Katie moment from the Muslim ban day, and that's when people really started to notice and wonder why he was calling any reporter out from any crowd, especially in a room as charged as that one was.
Yeah.
But he had been doing that since day one, and I go through it in the book. I mean, the very first time I was at a Trump rally, it wasn't like the rallies that we got used to, but this was a couple hundred people around a backyard pool in New Hampshire, the very first event I ever covered of Donald Trump's, the first time I shared the same air with Donald Trump. And he called me out, Katie, you're not paying attention to me. And for months on end, I would be the most familiar face to him in a crowd because no other national reporters were following him as early as I started following him. And he would do it in Atlanta. He did it in Tennessee. He did it in New Hampshire, on and on and on. Whenever he was happy with my reporting, he'd say glowing things, and he'd try to introduce me to crowds at one point as if I was his wife. And when he was angry about my reporting, more often than not angry about the facts that I was laying out,
right,
he would attack me and he'd single me out. And it was, you know, it's not a comfortable situation to talk about yourself as a reporter. This interview right now is frankly uncomfortable to me. The whole book tour is a bit uncomfortable because I don't really like talking about myself.
I understand.
But he made me a part of the story.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, you know, just shake it off, smile and wave at the crowd, even when it got tense, even when it felt threatening, even when the Secret Service had to walk me to my car, because what else are you going to do? I'd like to do my job. I don't want to stop doing my job. So wave it off, ignore it, and keep going.
Katie Turr, MSNBC's NBC, Unbelievable is the name of the book, my front row seat to the craziest campaign in American history. She covered the entire Donald Trump thing last year. I love watching you on MSNBC. I think you're doing an amazing job. And I'm curious, I mean, did they ask you to move to Washington and cover the Trump presidency? Or if they did you just say, leave me alone, I've had enough?
I didn't even let them get to the point where they should have asked me. I said, no, I don't want to go to Washington, make other arrangements.
Yeah.
There was that moment when he won where I thought to myself and reconsidered, and they said to me, Katie, if you really want to go, you better tell us now. And I took a day or 2 days, slept on it, looked at my life, looked at my boyfriend who was shortly going to become my fiance, and I said, you know what, no, I'm staying in New York. I'm going to try and recapture some semblance of self.
Right on. Finally, one of the strangest moments on the campaign last year was that amazing infomercial with, we call it the meat press conference, where he's got his wine, his meat, all this other stuff. That was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen in my life, too.
Yeah, that one I think we can categorize as somewhat funny. It was one of the Super Tuesdays, and we're at his golf course, his Jupiter golf course in Florida. At this point, I think he had taken us to 9 of his properties. This very thinly veiled attempt to get attention for his brand,
right,
by dragging the press corps, you know, all around the country and even to Scotland to see his various properties under the guise of a campaign event. This one was an even more thinly veiled attempt to get attention for his brand and his companies. He had laid out in the ballroom where he's having this event Trump steaks, ostensibly Trump steaks, Trump wine, Trump water, Trump magazine. This came right after Mitt Romney eviscerated him, took a sledgehammer to him at a speech in Utah where he just claimed that Donald Trump was a big fraud and a fake. And this was Trump's attempt to prove Mitt Romney wrong, except it was nothing of the sort. Those were not Trump steaks. They were steaks from Bush Brothers, which is a butcher down the road in Palm Beach. There weren't even Trump steaks. Trump steaks are no longer for sale. Sharper Image doesn't offer them any longer. The Trump water is just water that you can buy online from a bottling plant, and they will stick on a customizable label, which is what he said was Trump water. The magazine was the same thing. It was a company that offers customizable content. It's not his publishing company,
right,
just like it wasn't his water bottling plant. And the most egregious of them was the Trump wine. It was, yes, it was the Trump winery, but if you go on the Trump website, it says something, I'm paraphrasing, but something like, this company is wholly owned by Eric Trump. It has nothing to do whatsoever with Donald J. Trump. It's not even his wine. I mean, it's his son. So it was this event where the reporters quickly debunked all of it and, you know, tweeted about it, wrote stories about it. And this is before Donald Trump takes the stage. And then he takes the stage and then goes through all these products as if the reporters haven't already debunked them.
Right. Fake news. Fake news.
Wild fake news, I guess, yeah.
Well, after all those days embedded on the Trump campaign, has anything really surprised you in the last 10 months? You saw it all last year. I mean,
it hasn't surprised me, but it's still, sometimes I still think, what is going on? Today, when he was in Puerto Rico, and everything turned back to himself. You know, he's sitting in a hangar, and he's allowing the various cabinet secretaries and the first responders there to tell him how great of a job he is doing in Puerto Rico.
Right.
He walks up to a family, and the first thing he says is, great-looking family. And the last thing he says before he takes a photo with them is, have a good time. This is Puerto Rico. The majority of the island, almost all of the island, 95% of the island has no electricity. Hospitals are running on generators. They can't run their most critical machinery on a generator. You can't get an MRI scan on a generator. And 50% of the island doesn't have access to clean water. It is a disaster zone in the truest sense of the word. It is a dire situation.
Yeah, and he acted like he was having fun.
That hasn't had power since Irma. Have a good time.
Yeah. And he also said something like, we did a great job, only 16 people died, and it's not as bad as Katrina was. You know, he made it sound like,
as if that, you know,
Puerto Rico was fine. Okay. Yeah.
It's not a real disaster. Let's be honest, though. The death count could potentially go up much further. They haven't been able to reach a number of more remote areas.
Right.
And it is still very much a real disaster in Puerto Rico.
Katie Turr, MSNBC, NBC News. The book is unbelievable. My front row seat to the craziest campaign in American history. I'm a huge fan. I'll be watching continually on MSNBC. And I hope we can talk again, Katie.
I hope so, Steve. Thank you so much for watching, and thanks so much for having me on.
All right. It's our pleasure. Have a great week. 334. Unbelievable. My front row seat to the craziest campaign in American history, Katie Turr.